And when you hear that question, what do you think? Our God has a need? And Watchman Nee said, God's greatest need is for His people to come into His presence. That is God's greatest need. For His people to come into His presence. And when I think of that and hear that thought of coming into the presence of God, and God, that is God's need, I think of time. And I want to confess to you this morning that I'm guilty of taking the time to come into the presence of God and being quiet before the Lord. This is what the church leaders were doing. They were gathered together and they ministered unto the Lord. They came into the presence of the Lord. And it included fasting. And from that, the Lord spoke. I don't know if it was an audible voice that they heard. It was a call to separation. The Lord said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Or set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them. So the challenge I want to leave with you today is how much time are you spending as a believer, as a church, in ministering unto the Lord, coming into His presence. I won't take the time, but we could go back into Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, where God called the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, and to Moses called the people together to prepare themselves and to meet God at Mount Sinai. And it was a great experience for them. They feared, they trembled at the presence of God. In Exodus chapter 19, Moses commands them to wash their garments, to consecrate themselves, and he called them to moral purity and coming into the presence of the Lord. In the New Covenant, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter writes to the church and he says, "You are a chosen race, or generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And so the contrast between the Old Testament and now in the New Covenant, in the Lord calling us as His people, His prized possession. And He talks about a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's possession. What a wonderful thought and a truth. As you sit here this morning, and you realize, I am God's possession. Called to proclaim His excellency. Called out of darkness to light. It's like going through a doorway from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That walk of faith, that step of faith. So, when we think of coming into the presence of God, I want to talk about 5 points. And this is not, it's not all inclusive. But talk about coming into the presence of God. And first of all, the presence of God in our lives, in the New Covenant, the presence of God is constant. In the Old Testament, and I think of Jesus when He came to Jacob's well and talked to the woman of Samaria. And she said, "Well, yes, your people, the Jews, go to Jerusalem and worship. My people come to this mountain and worship here." And I'm so glad this morning that In the New Covenant, we don't have to go to a certain geographical location to meet God. God's presence is constant. It is wherever we are. Jesus' words to Nicodemus, where Nicodemus came to him by night and acknowledging that Jesus, you are a teacher, and the teacher that you are, you must come from God. And Jesus' response to Nicodemus was so interesting. He turns and tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus had a hard time understanding that. He was perplexed. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so, I marvel at the power of confession. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man can believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That phrase unto righteousness and is, we could say, into righteousness. With the confession of our mouth, as we believe in our heart that Christ is raised from the dead, we will be saved. I have a friend, his name is John Miller, and he's an old order Amish bishop. And there were older Amish people coming to Bethel, and they would say, I was born again when I was baptized. And I really, as a church leader, I struggled with that. And I said, one day I was at John's shop. John is an older Amish bishop, but he repairs cars and uses computerized equipment to work on them. It's very unique. And I said, John, explain something to me. How can that be that they are born again when they're baptized? And John looked at me and he said, Mark, I was baptized in a Swartzentruber Amish church in Minnesota. And the Sunday that I was on my knees and made my confession of faith, he said, something changed in my heart. Something took place. John couldn't explain it. John wasn't in an environment to grow from there. But he said, when I made that confession of faith, something changed in my heart. And I thought, wow, the power of this confession, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto or into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto or into salvation. A verse we read often. Do we realize the impact? 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. He or she in God. So, according to John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The constant presence of God in our lives through the Holy Spirit at the point of believing and confessing. And of course, there is repentance involved in that too. And we look at the life of a person and we look for fruits. And we should. But the word dwelleth there in John 14 means to abide, continue, or endure. So the presence of God is constant in the believer's life. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is the Lord and gives liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. For the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. In this verse in John, in 1 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, just as Jesus and the Father are God. And then Exodus 34:34 talks about Moses coming into the presence of God, and the veil is removed from his face. And there he stands before the Lord and communicates with the Lord with liberty. With liberty. So we come into the presence of God with liberty to communicate with him. Then thirdly, the Holy Spirit has impact and transforms. Before salvation, during salvation, and after salvation. John 16:7, Jesus says, and he was speaking to his disciples, he said, "It is expedient or necessary that I ascend to heaven so that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will come." And the first thing Jesus says that I will do is I will pray to my Father and send the Holy Spirit to you. And he talks about what the Holy Spirit will do. He will bring conviction. He will bring comfort. He will teach us. He will guide us into all truth. And he convicts the world of sin. And it is even the Holy Spirit that convicts sinners of their sinfulness and their need for a Savior. We teach, we preach, we pass out tracts, we tell people about Jesus Christ, we talk about heaven and hell, but the Holy Spirit brings conviction. So the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, impacts and transforms our lives. Now, I'm all for missions. And it's necessary that we get involved in missions. The church has a mandate to tell and speak of Jesus and preach the gospel. But John Piper says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. He says, worship is. Tom, you talked about what comes first, worship or service? And you are right. Worship comes first. John Piper says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. He says, missions exist because worship doesn't. I thought, wow. Missions exist because worship doesn't. He says, worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. He says missions is the temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. Then John says, we belittle God when we go through the outward motions of worship and take no pleasure in his person. And how many times do we sit, or do I sit, at church on Sunday morning and sing songs of praise and not realize what I'm singing? And worship will go on forever. It abides forever. Missions is temporary. Worship abides forever. And I think of John this morning in heaven, worshiping throughout eternity. God's presence affects our emotions and our feelings. Sometimes not, but he is still there. The presence of God. And then fourthly, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, enables us to relate and communicate with God. This summer, Betty and I were in Thailand for 2 months. And through that process, we had to extend our visas so we could stay in the country. And Rod Musser from IGO helped us with our paperwork. And we went to Immigration's to extend our visas. And we sat there and we waited and we waited. We spent most of the day waiting to extend our visas. But not so when we come into the presence of the Lord. The Lord is waiting for us to come. There's no line or pick a number. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God, enables us to relate and to communicate with God. We talked about worship, reading the Word, praying verbally. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony is what helped them, empowered them to overcome Satan. And so we come into the presence of God and we come to communicate with God and relate to him. There's no time of waiting. We have access to the presence of the Lord through the Holy Spirit 24/7. And then the last part of that verse in Revelation 12:11, they loved not their lives unto death. And they were of the persuasion, like the Apostle Paul was, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Then fifthly, the presence of God through the Holy Spirit gives us boldness. Gives us boldness. One evening, while we were in Thailand on a Wednesday evening Bible study, we were studying out of 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. And this is boldness, not an arrogant boldness, but we can boldly come into the presence of the Lord. Verse 16 through 18 in 1 John 4. And we have known and believed the love that God hath for us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Then he says, there is no fear in love. And I thought, that was, as I thought of that verse and we talked about it, we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because of the presence of God, the love of God. The love of God is perfected in us. And we talk about the judgment of God without fear. We have boldness in the day of judgment. And then, the last part of verse 17, because as he is, so are we in this world. And that was another wow when I read that and just meditated upon it. As he is, as God is, so are we in this world. God is holy. God is righteous. Some of God's attributes he shares with us. He calls us to be holy. He calls us to be righteous in this world. You know, it would be nice if we would be saved and the Lord would take us home right then. But he doesn't. He wants us to stay here and be in this world to reflect his glory. And then we have confidence in the day of judgment. So the presence of God in the new covenant is constant. It is with you 24/7. And I need to confess to you today that there's times I forget that. I go about my work, my busy schedule, and I'm not constantly aware that God's presence is with me 24/7. The Holy Spirit is God. He dwells with us. He indwells us. The presence of God impacts and transforms. The Holy Spirit convicted me to come to Jesus Christ as a young man. I felt that conviction, that drawing power. And then when I committed my life to Christ, He dwells within me. He came to abide in my heart. And He dwells here But he continues to transform. After I became a Christian, then conviction really started. And the Lord really started working in my life. It was because of his presence. The presence of God enables us to communicate with God. No waiting time. No picking a number. Waiting in line. And then the presence of God gives us boldness in the day of judgment. It also gives us boldness to be a testimony, a witness for the Lord. So, ministering unto the Lord is God's greatest need. The believer coming into his presence. And we can do it in a personal way. We can do it on a corporate level as a body of believers. And the Lord needs his people to come into his presence and remain there. And he wants to speak into our lives when we do that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, as we look at this scripture in Acts and the team in the church at Antioch, and they're ministering unto you, coming into your presence, it enabled you to speak into their hearts and lives, and commissioning Paul, who was Saul then, and Barnabas, to go and preach the gospel. Father, we're here asking your forgiveness this morning, where our worship is lacking in our lives. And help us to remember that worship is eternal. And missions will end at the end of this age when you return again. Lord, I pray for the Church of Calvary Chapel. I pray that you would bless them in their work, in their efforts, in their service to you. But above all, Lord, I pray for revival in their hearts, that there would be a new desire to come into your presence and to worship in spirit and in truth. And I pray also for those here that are grieving and our hearts are sad and we mourn because of a loss of a friend and a brother and in this community. I pray for Carissa and her family. Lord, I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would comfort them and put your arms of love around them. We fail with words at times like this, but we thank you for your ever-abiding presence that brings comfort. And then even to the community, Lord, as they rally together around the family, give much grace. Jesus, we watch and wait for your return again. And we want to be worshipers of you, even now. And as you return to receive your bride, we anticipate to be carried away, raptured into glory with you. In the meantime, until you return again, we thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin. Thank you for the power of confession. And we honor you and praise you, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll turn the time back to Chad.